This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. You heard Governor J.B. Pritzker's budget address live on WGIL this afternoon. Tonight's time for reaction, and we'll start that. We talked to two of our local lawmakers a couple of weeks ago during the State of the State address. Now it's time to talk to the remaining two. And the first of those is State Representative Dan Swanson, who is on the line right now. Representative Swanson, thanks as always for your time.
Well, thank you, Will. It's always good to talk with you and the listeners in the Galesburg area.
Yeah, very glad to have you for sure. Let's kind of start with some of the basics here. While the governor called himself an optimist in this speech and proposed what I think he would consider to be a balanced budget, I think there are some concerns about how some of the proposals we heard today are going to be paid for.
Yeah, very true. He's proposing the largest budget ever for the state of Illinois, a little over $42 billion, and about $2.2 billion out of whack, more expenditures than expected, or more expenditures than what we had last year, $2.2 billion. And, of course, he's optimistic. His optimism comes on the tails of the passing the constitutional amendment this November.
Fairer tax amendment that he's been talking about. I'm concerned about that, especially because I think he just it almost felt like there might be a guilt trip involved here if such an amendment weren't passed in November. For a case in point being the $1.4 billion he has set aside that would be for education spending if the amendment is passed.
Yes, that's what's got us concerned, too, is one of the proposals we had was that 5% increase in universities, and actually, when you look at that holding, the $1.4 billion, that's one of those proposals to withhold the five percentage points. So about $200 million out of our high schools or our elementary schools in the mandated categorials are affected, the evidence-based funding is affected, and the school maintenance capital program, about $200 million, a little more than that, being held hostage
in
the education.
So what happens if that doesn't get passed? Are we talking potential cuts to the budget? How do you think that'll work if this doesn't pass in November?
Well, if it doesn't pass in November, certainly those areas that he's holding in reserve would not be funded. And local governments, state and local governments, a $602 million loser in that with our local GDF and public transportation, even a 2021 state police cadet class would be cut. So, public safety is involved. So a lot of things are dependent upon passing the progressive income tax proposal in November. But we've got to hold firm that we will continue the funding of our schools is what we promised.
The other concern I have about that is this is still February. November is a long ways away. That just doesn't seem, all that realistic to build a budget and have to wait on something that may or may not happen 9 months from now.
Right. Here in the House, and I'm sure in the Senate too, we'll push forward with our appropriations and see how those all come out, what that final bill looks like. This is the governor's proposal. It's his idea, not necessarily what the House and Senate may put together for their programs. But yeah, that's a long ways off to be betting, as he used the term, on a November election.
And speaking of betting, some of that came up in this budget proposal as well, with the possibility of sports betting starting in time for March Madness, things like projections also in revenue for adult-use cannabis that have been built into the budget. What are your thoughts on some of that?
Well, I was not a big fan of the betting and not a big fan of the cannabis, but he's using both of those as a revenue source to help with the budget, and I understand he would do that, and he is doing that. So let's see where that comes out. My position has always been that both those programs tend to require funding for some health, mental health issues and family social services. So we're just going to have to see how this call turns out. But, you know, he's riding the tie very high right now, no pun intended, on what the cannabis is bringing in.
Well, and speaking of riding the tide, he once again kind of at least started by doing the same thing he did in the State of the State address and almost taking a victory lap of sorts. And I guess no matter how you feel, I guess, about what he's done, it seems like that, you know, maybe since he got a number of things passed and a number of other things that he campaigned for or being proposed, maybe he deserves to take a victory lap. But I guess I don't know that he necessarily should have done that at on the back of Bruce Rauner, should he?
No, exactly. He used, you know, what we can credit the employment situation to, I believe, is the Trump effect in our mm-hmm. states and in our nation. He sure likes to tout that Illinois is at its lowest unemployment rate right now. And when I look at some of these proposals, I don't see we're chasing business out of the state or some of the people moving out of the state is really where the employment changes come in at.
He also talked a great deal about, and I guess this is a positive, depending on how you look at it, reducing the state's budget backlog and reducing all the late payment fees. There's still a backlog, but it sounds like it's maybe much better off than it was a year ago.
Well, absolutely. You know, we passed some legislation to keep the comptroller better informed, and state agencies are to report their backlogs, bill backlogs. So that has certainly been an efficiency that's helped us reduce that backlog in bills when we know where we stand, so the comptroller and the treasurer are able to track those expenditures and backlogs. So that certainly has been a big help to bring that down, reducing that monthly or annual cost of doing business dramatically over what we had in the past.
Let's talk about pensions a little bit. He kind of took a bit of a victory lap there, proposing increased pension payments for the first time in a while. But on the other hand, even some of that is dependent upon this graduated income tax.
Right. You know, within his proposal, it's a fully funded budget payment plan for our pensions. But, you know, we look at that far-off distance of $130 billion in unpaid pensions and liabilities. So, you know, as long as we can make those payments, it'd be great if we can put some more beside it. You know, it's like making a payment on our house. If we can pay more towards that principal each month, we're going to pay off our bills or home loans a lot sooner.
We talked a little bit about the K-12 and higher ed funding proposals, and certainly there are increases and maybe working toward things like free community college tuition, more free tuition for lower-income families to the U of I system. Any of that that might be considered positives here?
Well, certainly for our local schools, to increase enrollment in our schools, that's certainly how you increase that is through free tuition and some of those discounts. And sure, we do need to have an obligation to help with college tuitions. It's just that there's some pretty large numbers that he's proposed, going from a 10,000 students to a 20,000, or increasing by 20,000, I believe are the words he used. So yeah, it all comes at a cost, but I'm glad to see some of the education responses he did have towards helping with some more college tuition. But, you know, it comes at a cost, like I said.
Exactly. I'm a little short on time, Representative Swanson, so let me kind of have you talk more about, are there other concerns or conversely other positives that you see in what the governor talked about today?
Well, as he's talked before, you know, mental health, additional funding for mental health and DCFS, which was two positives as I see it. You know, we need to get a handle on DCFS. We can't allow children at the hands of who we are expecting to take care of them not follow up, and we have small children who lose their life or, you know, just aren't taken care of as they should be by a state agency like DCFS. So I was glad to see some of the improvement there. So I think that is one of the positives in the mental health, something that once we get a good growth on our mental health and we're able to conduct some local community activities in the mental health arena, I think that'll go a long ways in helping with some of our problems within our communities.
All right. Is there any optimism that once again this year we'll get a budget passed on time and without having to go through a bunch more hoops?
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to have everything wrapped up this spring and keep moving on.
All right. On that note, State Representative Dan Swanson in Springfield, we appreciate your time, and we'll have you back on the program here soon to talk about a series of meetings that you'll have coming up, correct?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, Will.
All right. Representative Swanson, thanks again.
Thank you.
All right. Stay tuned. At 5:40, we'll hear from State Senator Jill Tracy, but when we come back, sports and business news on Galesburg's Evening News.